So therefore, one who is a devotee of Krishna has no obligation to anyone or anything, because automatically they are, as Prabhupada said, pouring water on the source. Just like if you pour water on the root of the tree, automatically every single part of the tree is benefited. Krishna ordered a stop to all such activities by his devotees, for he wanted to firmly establish exclusive devotional service during his presence in Vrindavan. Krishna knew that the coward men were preparing for the Indra sacrifice because he is the omniscient personality of Godhead. But as a matter of etiquette, he began to inquire with great honor and submission from the older personalities like Maharaj Nanda and others. Krishna asked his father, "My dear father, what is this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such sacrifice, and for whom is it meant? How is it to be performed? Will you kindly let me know? I am very anxious to know this procedure, so please explain to me the purpose of the sacrifice." Upon this inquiry, his father, Nanda Maharaj, remained silent. Thinking that his young boy would not be able to understand the intricacies of performing the jagna, Krishna, however, persisted, "My dear father, for those who are liberal and saintly, there is no secrecy. They do not think anyone to be a friend or enemy because they are always open to everyone. And even for those that are not so liberal, nothing should be secret from the family members and friends, although secrecy may be maintained for persons who are inimical. Therefore, you cannot keep any secrets from me. All persons are engaged in fruitive activities. Some know what these activities are, and they know the results. And some execute activities without knowing the purpose of the result. A person who acts with full knowledge gets the full result. One who acts without knowledge does not get such a perfect result." So this is very important, that if you are worshipping demigods, you must understand what is the worship and what is the result. In other words, what can the demigods give you? They can only give you what they have. They can't give you anything else. You see? You see the point? They may be controlling rain, so you're going to get lots of rain. But you can go to Innisfraith in Ireland and you get loads of rain. So what is the use of all your rain? So similarly, we find that this worship of demigods is also a very good example, because in the material world, all of us, we worship materialism. We worship materialism. We are very attracted to increasing or improving our situation. This is called artha, economic development. So dharma, artha, kama. Kama means sense gratification. So people are very attracted to increasing their sense gratification. That is the nature of the material world. So Krishna is showing here that those who are worshippers of demigods, they are simply materialists. You see, they are materialists. Many people think that it's religious to worship demigods. It is not religious. It is not religious. It is simply 100% materialistic. There's nothing spiritual about worshipping any demigod. You see? Now, in India, you will find, just like I went to one man's house, he had every deity on his altar that you could think of. He even had Indira Gandhi and the Pope. And I couldn't believe this guy. I'd been traveling around Indian houses for years, and this guy took the biscuit. This guy took the cookie. So I said to him, literally, his altar was as nearly as big as that. He had so many things on his altar, pictures. And I said to him, "Which one are you worshiping?" He said, "I'm worshipping all of them." So I said to him, "How can you be worshipping all of them?" He said, "Because one of them must be right." He said, "And I'm not taking any chances." So the point is that everyone gives their worship. This is called puja. We give puja. But puja is not very beneficial, because puja, you do puja with the idea of getting some result. You understand? So the idea, Krishna is pointing out that yes, you are worshipping demigods, but do you know really what these people are and what they can do and what is the result? You see? So this is a fact, that those who are less intelligent, as Krishna says in the Gita, because generally people who are less intelligent, you see, they are seeing the effect, but they're not seeing the cause. That's why Lord Brahma said, Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Adi Govinda Sarvakarna Karnam. Sarvakarna Karnam means cause of all causes. So therefore, we find that generally speaking, even in our Krishna conscious movement, we generally are more attracted to the effects of spiritual life. Effects means we want some nice situation, we want to make some nice arrangement. Everyone is trying to better themselves, isn't it? Everyone in the material world, we are trying to better ourselves in some degree or way. And in actuality, we can understand that Krishna now is chastising his father in a very nice way, because Krishna is a young boy, 7 years, I think he was about 7 years of age at that age. His father didn't think he'd understand. But Krishna asked, my father, what is this arrangement going on for a great sacrifice? What is the result of such a sacrifice? And for whom is it meant? How is it performed? Will you let me know? So then, on hearing this inquiry from Krishna, Maharaj Nanda replied, my dear boy, this ceremonial performance is more or less traditional. This rainfall is due to the mercy of King Indra, and the clouds are his representatives. And because water is so important for our living, we must show some gratitude to the controller of this rainfall, Maharaj Indra. We are arranging, therefore, to pacify King Indra, because he has very kindly sent us clouds to pour down sufficient quantity of rain for successful agricultural activities. So this is the general tendency of people, that we find that always in religion, in any type of religious sacrifice, there's always the idea of some gain. Therefore it says kaitava, kaitava in the Bhagavad. This kaitava, cheating mentality, the crafty mentality. Everyone has this craftiness that somehow we should gain something from our service. Service is, everyone is doing service, but it's always with gain. If you study every single activity we do, is tendency to be motivated by gain, either directly, indirectly, in some shape or form. So therefore, religion is contaminated, kaitava, by this cheating propensity where there is the idea of some gain. So Nanda Maharaj is explaining about this sacrifice. So with this purpose in mind, Krishna, after hearing Nanda Maharaj's as it says here, Krishna's event was especially meant for the annihilation of the demons and protection of the devotees. King Indra was certainly a devotee, not a demon, but because he was puffed up, Krishna wanted to teach him a lesson. He first tried to make Indra angry by stopping the Indra Puja, which was arranged by the coward men of Vrindavan. With this purpose in mind, Krishna began to talk as if he were an atheist, supporting the philosophy of karma, mimamsa. Advocates of this type of philosophy do not accept the supreme authority of the personality of Godhead. They put forth the argument that if anyone works nicely, the result is sure to come. So here Krishna is taking the position of atheist, and he's saying that by your actions, you get reaction, the result comes. So why worship anything? So we see, Prabhupada said, even Krishna can become atheist. So he is showing his wonderful pastimes that he wants to actually stop the worship of King Indra. So therefore he begins by teaching atheism. So, my dear father, I don't think you need to worship any demigod for the successful performance of your agricultural activities. Every living being is born according to his past karma and leaves this life simply taking the result of his present karma. Everyone is born in different types of species of life according to his past activities, and he gets his next birth according to the activities of this life. Different grades of material happiness and the stress, comforts, and disadvantages of life are different results of different kinds of activities, either from the past or present life. So, Maharaj Nanda and the other elderly members argued that without satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good results simply by material activities. This is actually a fact. For example, it is sometimes found that in spite of first-class medical help and treatment by a first-class physician, a diseased person dies. So the nature of the material world is it is always trying to make us think that we're the doer. That is the power of this material world. Everyone thinks that they're the doer. And therefore, the arrangement of matter is based upon this karmic consciousness. Everyone thinks that by my efforts, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, the demon also thinks of that. By my endeavors, I have become wealthy. So much wealth have I got today, and tomorrow I get more. He is my enemy, and I will destroy him, etc. So we always have this idea that it's by our endeavors that we are gaining something. So although Krishna was giving this philosophy, the coward men did not accept it. And they pointed out that without actually satisfying the predominating God, one cannot derive any good result. And this is seen. We see that factually, even though society has incredible economic development, and just like the most advanced countries in this world, they have immense economic development, immense arrangement, but we find that nobody is actually happy. People are not happy. They're not happy. So this is one of the wonders of this world, that no matter how much materialistic arrangement you make, you become more miserable. You see, you actually become more and more miserable. The highest suicide rate is in Sweden, which has the most advanced economic development in the world. Second is Japan, which, and then America, I think, is third. So if you go to countries like Africa, they have very little suicide. Very little suicide. Because they have very simple living. And there's no complication. As a matter of fact, they have a bit of a lazy life because everything grows on trees. And if you want mangoes, they're there. If you want pineapples, they're there. Everything is growing, sprouting from everywhere. There's billions of mangoes grow wild. Billions of avocado grow wild. Billions of pineapples growing wild. So therefore, in actuality, this point being made by Krishna, that unless one worships by Nanda Maharaj, unless one satisfies the supreme authority, then, but, of course, here Krishna says, my dear father, there's no need to worship the demigod Indra. Lord Krishna says, everyone has to achieve the result of his own work. We can actually see that one becomes busy according to the natural tendency of his work, and according to the natural tendency, all living entities, either human beings or demigods, achieve their respective results. So Krishna, he's convincing gradually Nanda Maharaj to give up the sacrifice. And of course, ultimately, Nanda Maharaj and the coward boys, they give up the sacrifice for Indra. And instead, actually, Krishna advocates that they should rather worship Govardhan Hill. As it says here, because Govardhan Hill, of all the devotees, Govardhan Hill is the best, oh my friends. This hill supplies Krishna Balaram along with calves, cows and coward friends with all kinds of necessities. So in Govardhan Hill, there are beautiful waterfalls, there are beautiful fruits, there are beautiful flowers. Actually, the Govardhan, you can get anything you want. This is called Kalpa Vriksha. In the spiritual world, the land is also completely spiritual. Spiritual means that it is completely conscious. And therefore, everything is there in perfection. That in other words, there is perfect arrangement for drinking water, fruits. There are beautiful vegetables there. And there is surabhi-rabhi palyantam. Surabhi-rabhi palyantam means there are billions of cows. And they have big, big milk bags that are overflowing. So actually in Vrindavan, there is always streams of milk. And these cows are called surabhi. Surabhi means that they can fulfill any desire of their devotee. These are not ordinary cows. And these cows are also wandering on the hill of Govardhan. So therefore Krishna is explaining to his father Nanda Maharaj and the coward men that actually there's no need to worship anything except Govardhan Hill, because Govardhan Hill is supplying. So in his statement, Lord Krishna so he says here, my dear father, he says here, Krishna further explained to father, the cosmic manifestation is going on under the influence of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance. These three modes are the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. The cloud is caused by the action of the mode of passion. Therefore, it is the mode of passion which causes the rainfall. And from the rainfall, the living entities derive their results, success in agricultural work. What then has Indra to do with this affair? Even if you do not please Indra, what can he do? We do not derive any special benefit from Indra. Even if he is there, he pours water on the ocean also, where there is no need of water. So he is pouring water on the ocean or on the land. It does not depend on our worshipping him. As far as we are concerned, we do not need to go to another city or village or foreign country. There are palatial buildings in the cities, but we are satisfied living in the forest of Vrindavan. Our specific relationship with Govardhan Hill and Vrindavan forest and nothing more. I therefore request you, my dear father, to begin the sacrifice that will satisfy the local brahmanas and Govardhan Hill, and let us have nothing to do with Indra. So this point is also there that you don't need all of these arrangements in the material world. Everyone is making so much arrangements. And practically speaking, they are worshipping materialism. People are worshipping materialism. They are worshipping cars, computers. They are practically absorbed in all of these anatta. Anatta means unwanted things, useless activity. And in reality, the actual things which people need, they do not understand. Because the thing which actually people need is to have actual, as they say in India, shanti, peace. They need peace. People need peace. That peacefulness can only come about when there is proper living. Proper living means that there should be simple living and high thinking. So Prabhupada says here that in this statement, Lord Krishna practically described the whole economy of the Vaishya community. In all communities of human societies and in the animal kingdom, amongst the cows, dogs, goats, etc., everyone has his part to play. Each of us is to work in cooperation for the total benefit of all society, which includes not only animate objects, but also inanimate objects like hills and land. The Vaishya community is specifically responsible for the economic improvement of the society by producing grains, by giving protection to the cows, by transporting food when needed, and by banking and finance. From this statement, we learn also that the cats and dogs, although not so important, are not to be neglected. Cow protection is actually more important than protection of cats and dogs. Another hint we get from this statement is that the chandalas, or the untouchables, are also not to be neglected by the higher classes. Everyone is important, but some are directly responsible for the advancement of human society, and some are only indirectly responsible. However, when Krishna consciousness is there, then everyone's total benefit is taken care of. So that's the point, that when there is actually Krishna consciousness, then all of this materialism becomes minimized. You see? The idea being, when there's not Krishna consciousness in the heart, then people become more and more interested in the so-called advancement of economic development. That's why this age is called Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga means Iron Age. Iron Age means very gross mentality. People have very gross mentality in this age. They think that by having machines and loud noises and horrible contraptions, and when you go to see people, there's so many machines. Whenever I go to see any relative, television is blaring, someone's playing on a computer, someone's mucking around with some noisy gadget, and you think this is hell. You actually think I'm in hell. Because in actuality, there's no peace, there's no tranquility, there's no calmness, there's no satisfaction. And because of this artificial society, people are always disturbed. They are always disturbed. Above all, always disturbed, because they have created artificial living, created artificial way of life, just like you're living in the central of London. Horrible experience, isn't it? As soon as you walk out, you're being harassed. You're being, attacked by so many horrible things and horrible people. You find people walking around looking miserable. So miserable, isn't it? They're looking miserable because it's misery. You see? They don't understand. They don't understand that by association with this material energy, you become more and more engrossed in impersonalism. Impersonal. Because all of this energy is simply there to actually pull you away from Krishna. So therefore, this example is there that in the material world, just like one time, Srila Bhakti, I like this quote, because Bhakti Siddhanta was asked, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he says that, is there anything that you observe which is antagonistic to the philosophy of the Bhagavad? And he said, every thought that comes out of the mind of man is opposed to the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. Every thought that comes out of the mind of man is directly opposed to the philosophy of the Bhagavad. So you find that actually, what is this creation? This creation in the material world is simply a mental disturbance. That is all. What you are seeing in Oxford Street and all of the... We used to call that the Agasura demon. When we used to go in Harinam, we used to see Oxford because we used to come from Bury Place. So we'd have to come up the street and we'd see this horrible metropolis in front of us and we'd think, this is just like going into the belly of Agasura. And as we go up there, sure enough, we'd see a tremendous amount of suffering. Actually, when you look, if you want to see suffering, you walk up and down Oxford Street a few times. I guarantee you, halfway down Oxford Street, you become completely miserable yourself. You become completely miserable yourself. Because actually, this whole material arrangement is full of misery. It is full of misery. And therefore, this point, probably laboring it a bit, but the point is that this simple living, Krishna consciousness means very simple living, that we should make our life very simple. Just like we find that Prabhupada wanted to start these farm communities, but no one's attracted. No one's attracted. Everyone's attracted to city living, motorways, cars, fast life. We find that the actual pace by which we live, even in our Krishna conscious movement, there are so many breakup of marriages, divorce, arguments, quarreling, because nobody is actually happy. You see, we're living artificially. We should be very careful about living artificially. This living in cities is only for preaching. Otherwise, we have no interest in this type of living. But if one has simple living, meaning that there should be this Varnashram Dharma, we must have farm communities, there should be very nice river, very nice production of agriculture, very nice production of cow protection, Goraksha, and you'll find that actually it's a wonderful, natural life. So when Krishna comes here, he comes to demonstrate what is the reality behind the creation. That the reality is that all of the natural things, such as the rivers, the hills, the waterfalls, the production of grains and fruits and vegetables, and the protection of cows, and there should be abundance of cow milk, and of course, the most important thing, just like Prabhupada says, in the villages of India, Prabhupada said before the British came to India, there was no cities. There was only villages. Even today, 80% of the Indian population live in villages. And Prabhupada said in the village, and I've been there myself, they live very, very simple. They have some cows, some land, production of vegetables and grains. And in the evening, they all come together and they discuss philosophy. They have Ramayana reading, they have Srimad Bhagavatam reading, they have discussions on Krishna's pastimes. And of course, they should have the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So therefore, Krishna is actually, in one sense, directing the coward men of Vrindavan to worship Govardhan Hill. But in reality, we can understand that Govardhan Hill is also an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. He is also, as it says here, a great devotee of the Lord. And therefore, when the coward men began to worship Govardhan Hill, then Indra became very angry, and then of course Indra became so disturbed that he sends devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. When Indra understood that the sacrifice offered by the coward men in Vrindavan was stopped by Krishna, he became angry, and he vented his anger upon the inhabitants of Vrindavan, who were headed by Nanda Maharaj. Although Indra knew perfectly well that Krishna was personally protecting them, and the director of different kinds, as the director of different kinds of clouds, Indra called for the Sambartaka clouds. This cloud is invited when there is a need to devastate the whole cosmic manifestation. So Indra was pretty angry. He was pretty angry. He wanted to just wipe them all out. He wanted to wipe them all out. So this is the nature of people who are puffed up. In the material world, everyone is puffed up. They're just different degrees. As Prabhupada said, every little pauper is proud of his penny. So when we have a little power, the first thing we do is get puffed up, isn't it? It's natural. We have our own little ways of dealing with it. I'm not puffed up, Prabhu. I'm not puffed up. You're puffed up because you think I'm puffed up. But in actuality, we're all puffed up. And our nature is to be puffed up when we have anything. That's generally why Krishna is very kind. He doesn't let anyone have anything in this material world. Most people are running around penniless and ugly and helpless and uneducated, whatever. But as soon as there is any little kind of opulences, people become very proud. And of course, Prabhupada said this is the problem in the heavenly planets, that they're also devotees, but they're proud. So this pride is very dangerous. It's very dangerous in a devotee, because the pride is the killer of devotion. One thing Krishna doesn't tolerate is false pride. He cannot tolerate false pride in his devotees. So therefore, generally you find devotees get chastised quite heavily by Krishna. So Lord Indra, although a devotee of kinds, at the same time, Indra, because he's the king of heaven, and because he controls over all of the rainfall, he became puffed up by the negligence of the coward man. So therefore, he became so angry, he sent his Samvartaka. So in the material world, as it says, one becomes frustrated. From frustrated comes anger, crowed. So this crowed anger is extremely dangerous. So he became so angry that he wanted to pour devastating rainfall. Indra cursed the action of the inhabitants of Vrindavan and said, by defying the authority of the demigods, the inhabitants of Vrindavan will suffer in material existence. Having neglected the sacrifice of the demigods, they cannot cross over the impediments of the ocean of material misery. Indra further declared, these coward men in Vrindavan have neglected my authority on the advice of this talkative boy who is known as Krishna. He is nothing but a child, and by believing this child they have enraged me. Thus he ordered the Samvartaka cloud to go and destroy the property of Vrindavan. So generally we find that people have no actual respect for Krishna. Even in India, people, they tend to worship Ram more, because he was a big king, and Krishna is very confusing. First of all, he's a little coward boy running around hills with cows, and then he seems to play around with a lot of girls, which people can't understand. So therefore, generally, even in India, people, they understand Krishna is God, but they're not sure. They're confused how he's God. So this is actually one of the beautiful things about the personality of Godhead, is that the most difficult thing to understand about anyone is their personality. The most difficult thing to understand about anyone is their personality. So if you project that onto God, the most difficult thing to understand about God is his personality. And that's why you cannot become a devotee until you understand the personality of Godhead. You must understand the personality of Godhead. And that personality of Godhead, as we are singing every morning in this Damodar Ashtakam, he is not worshipped by this awe and veneration, but actually he is worshipped by prema bhakti, by bhakti. Therefore, this bhakti is only actually there in the devotee. So we find that many people, they may be very exalted in the material sense, and they may be extremely advanced in the material sense, but they do not have devotion to Krishna. And therefore Indra is also guilty of this. So ordered by King Indra, all the dangerous clouds appeared above Vrindavan and began to pour water incessantly with all their strength and power. There was constant lightning and thunder, blowing a severe wind and incessant falling of rain. This rainfall seemed to fall like piercing sharp arrows. By pouring water as thick as pillars without cessation, the clouds gradually filled in the lands of Vrindavan with water, and there was no visible distinction between higher and lower land. The situation was very dangerous, especially for the animals. The rainfall was accompanied by great winds, and every living creature in Vrindavan began to tremble from the severe cold. Unable to find any other source of deliverance, they all approached Govinda to take shelter of his lotus feet. The cows especially, being much aggrieved from the heavy rain, bowed down their heads, and taking their calves underneath their bodies, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead to take shelter of his lotus feet. At that time, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan began to pray to Lord Krishna. Dear Krishna, they prayed, you are all powerful and you are very affectionate to your devotees. Now please protect us, as we are very much harassed by angry Indra. Upon hearing their prayers, Krishna could also understand that Indra, being bereft of his sacrificial honor, was pouring down rain and was accompanied by heavy pieces of ice and strong winds. Although all this was out of season, Krishna understood that this was a deliberate exhibition of anger by Indra. He therefore concluded, this demigod who thinks himself supreme has shown his great power, but I shall answer him according to my position, and I shall teach him that he is not autonomous in managing universal affairs. I am the supreme lord over all, and I shall thus take away his false prestige, which has arisen from his power. Thinking in this way, Lord Krishna immediately picked up Govardhan Hill in one hand, exactly as a child picks up a mushroom from the ground. Now Govardhan Hill at that time was much, much bigger than it is now. But I think even if you lifted it now, it would be pretty heavy. So if you try lifting a rock, it's very, very heavy. Govardhan Hill, as far as my calculation, there's different, people have different views on it, but it was something like 46,000 feet high. That's according to what I've read. But you can all find out, if you measure a mustard seed, go back 5,000 years. Someone did it on computer and found out it was exactly correct. They got exact correct size. But according to their, they estimated the depletion by one mustard seed from 5,000 years ago, and they came to the same size as mentioned in the Bhagavatam, as mentioned in the Vedas. That was done by devotees on computer, by the way. So the thing is that the lifting of Govardhan Hill is, this is one of the, of course, displays of the super wonderful, superhuman activities of the Lord. So Krishna lifted up the Govardhan Hill, and my dear inhabitants of Vrindavan, you can now safely enter under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill, which I've just lifted. Do not be afraid of the hill and think that it will fall from my hand. You have been too much afflicted from the heavy rain and strong wind. Therefore I have lifted the hill, which will protect you exactly like a huge umbrella. I think this is a proper arrangement to relieve you from your immediate distress. Be happy along with your animals underneath the great umbrella. Being assured by Lord Krishna, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan entered beneath the great hill and appeared to be safe along with their property and animals. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other disturbance or discomforts. So this is Krishna conscious. If you surrender to Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything. He will give you all protection. Sarvadama pratyaja mamekam saranam raja hang tang sarvapabhyo mukshishami marshaja. Krishna says, give up all other endeavors. Prabhupada even uses the word, give up all other mental concoctions. Surrender unto me, and I will give you all shelter. So this wonderful pastime of Krishna is showing that actually he gave full shelter to all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And even though they were under a hill for a week, no one suffered from any anxieties or thirst or hunger or any kind of discomfort. So be guaranteed, be assured that if you surrender to Krishna, you will not face any discomfort. And we see this, that in Krishna consciousness, so many people are coming, so many people are living there, and no one is facing any discomfort, are you? There's no discomfort. The only discomfort is your mind. What can we do about that? But otherwise, every single facility is there. There's plenty of places to sleep, plenty of places for nice prasada. There are very nice arrangements. The buildings are all beautifully decorated. No one is living in a house like this, so nicely decorated. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there 24 hours a day. And a devotee has everything he needs. And yet, none of us have a job. So that is confusing. We don't have any job. I think in my life that I joined when I was 17, I never wrote out even one tax return. But I've never been hungry, ever. Never been without anything. So a devotee should understand that simply by the lifting with his little finger, this little tiny finger on the left hand, Krishna is able to give all protection. So therefore, one should not have any worries. Therefore Krishna says, do not fear, surrender to me. Shri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Go Premananda.